A faulty ballistics test and an overeager prosecution sent Anthony Ray Hinton to death row in 1985. It took 16 years of fighting by lawyer Brian Stevenson of the Equal Justice Initiative to get him released in April of 2015. Stevenson says the battle for America's soul is now taking place in cases like this in the U.S. criminal justice system.
Over-incarceration and excessive punishment has defined a generation, and it has really stained America in ways that are profound and meaningful and will be long-lasting. And I really don't have difficulty asserting that it's as prominent and important an issue, as worthy a cause, if you will, as anything I can think of. I mean, I see the work that we're doing as really an extension of the work that was being done to overcome slavery, overcome the terrorism of lynching, overcome segregation, because I think the contemporary manifestation of our failure to deal with those issues is the American criminal justice system.
That system kept Anthony Ray Hinton in a 5x7 cell waiting for his execution day for a crime he didn't commit for nearly 30 years. He was sentenced to death after being convicted of the murders of two restaurant managers. Hinton is 59 now. He was 29 at the time of his conviction, and he remembers vividly how he was mowing the lawn at his mother's house in Birmingham on a hot July day when the police showed up.
On that particular day, I was imagining getting through with cutting the grass. It was very hot in July, and going in the house, taking a shower, and later on, my church was having our yearly revival, and that's what I had looked forward to later on that evening, was going to revival and hearing the word of God. But something dramatic happened, and it changed the way I see the justice system. It changed the way I trust people. It just helped scarred me for life. I really believe that.
What did you think that your life would be before the police came to get you? What did you dream of being? What did you imagine you would do?
Well, you know, like I think, like most people, I dream of perhaps getting married, starting a family, just being a productive citizen, and more of all, treat people with respect and dignity. You know, I think it's a tragedy. I think the world passes you by. No one said, we're going to wait on Anthony Ray Hinton and see how his case turned out. The world kept going. All these places kept going. And I just wanted a life that quietness and peaceful and doing my job as a citizen of this country and providing for my family.
And can you describe what life is like on death row?
Oh, it is exactly what it say, death row. You wakes up every morning with a death sentence over your head. For 30 years, I slept in a 5x7 with my knees in a fetal position. Only had a sink and a toilet, and my bed was mounted to the wall. It is constantly noise 24/7. There is nothing hardly ever good come to death row. But the thing that I can actually say, when you hear men tell you why they there, I think that not only did their parents fail those that didn't provide love and nurturing for them, I think we as a society failed them as well, and we failed them again by sentencing them to death.
Who failed you, Anthony?
The system failed me. The system that I was brought up to believe in. As a little boy, my mom used to always tell me, if you ever lost, try to find a police officer. If you ever need help, find a police officer. They are your friend. And I can remember sitting back watching a little show called Leave It to Beaver, I think it was, and you had this police officer used to be out there on the street directing traffic and showing people which way to go. My mom believed in that. And I believed in it until 1985. I wish I could sit here today and tell you that all polices was like the one that did me, but they're not. There are some good officers out there. There are some good prosecutors out there. There are some people that really believe in the truth. I just happened to run across one that believed that the world should be white, and I believed, ran across one that he was willing to get a conviction at any cost, and that means send his innocent people to death row.
How did you make a full life in your mind when you were on death row? I mean, what did you do inside that head of yours?
Well, you know, it's the first 3 years when I first arrived at death row, I did not speak to a human being for 3 years other than my mother and my best friend when they came to see me. I had this profound hatred for the men that put me there. And all I could do was imagine escaping. And I didn't want to escape to be on the run. I wanted to escape and just come back and choke the life out of those men that did this to me. And after a while, going into my fourth year, since I couldn't escape physically, I decided I would escape mentally. And I looked at my body, and I told my body, I said, the mind is finna leave you. But I promise you, I will be back to check on you from time to time. And with that, I could just hear my body saying, okay, but make sure you come back and check on me. And when I did escape, of all the places that I escaped to, I went to England. For whatever reason, I wanted to talk to the Queen. And I showed up at the palace, and I told the guard that I was there to see Queen Elizabeth. I was able to get into the palace, and I saw Queen Elizabeth, and we had a conversation for hours. And after that, talking to the Queen, I realized then that I was able to take my mind and go wherever I wanted to go.
What did the Queen tell you?
Well, we sit down and we talked about Prince Di, and we talked about Prince Charles and Prince Harry and Prince William. And in that conversation, the Queen, she said, Mr. Hinton, would you like some tea? And I said, well, of course I would like some tea. And she said, what would you like in your tea? And I said, a spot of lemon, please. And she summoned the butlers to go and get this lemon for my tea. We come back and we begin to talk more about problems in both worlds. And what I learned then, that I had reached out to a lady that didn't know me, but she didn't turn me away. And I reached out to a lady that had compassion. And in that same breath, I realized that I was helping this lady that one would think that she had the whole world in her hand, but she was lonely, and she welcomed my visit. When I got ready to leave, she looked at me, sad, and she said, Mr. Hinton, do you promise to come back? And I told the Queen, well, of course, I would be back. And since I've been out, I haven't seen the Queen, but I have the privilege of going to England twice. Got a chance to go into the palace, and hopefully I will get a chance to meet the Queen. There is no way one can spend 30 years in this small cell and not be able to escape somehow, some way. Those that wasn't able to escape either hung themselves or they tried to kill themselves. Man, I don't believe was built to spend 30 years inside of a cage. And I would like for those that are listening to just try to imagine being locked up in a 5x7 for 30 years for something you know you didn't do, something that the authority know that you didn't do. So I was not going to give up. My faith would not let me give up. So I had to find a way to escape, and I escaped where it was beautiful, to places that I never would be able to go, even as a free man. I went to everywhere that I could think of, Japan, Singapore. I went to Spain. I mean, wherever I wanted to go, I allowed my mind to take me there. And now I truly understand what it means to read a book. I may not never go to California, but if you can just give me a book, if I can find a book that talks about California, I can read that book and I can imagine being in California. That's how I did my 30 years.
Who's most responsible for you being free today, do you think?
Well, God Almighty is the one that is responsible. You know, while there for 30 years, I came across a scripture. In this scripture, in Mark 11:24, it said, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe in them and you shall have them. I prayed not for my freedom. I prayed that God will let the truth come out. I prayed that God would send me someone that believed in me. And he sent me, in my honest opinion, the best lawyer in the United States, Mr. Brian Stevenson. And the moment Mr. Brian Stevenson shook my hand, I knew without a doubt that God had sent me his very best. And he worked diligently for 16 long years, going back and forth, presenting new evidence, only to be turned down by the attorney general. I had three attorney general just refused to look at the ballistic one more time. One that now is a federal judge, Bill Pryor. He was the first one that I went to and presented this new evidence. And he said, and I quote, it would be a waste of the taxpayer money to reexamine those bullets for 1 hour. I am convinced that the right man is on death row. A juror of his peers sentenced him and found him guilty. I refused to test those bullets. And with that, he was promoted to a federal judgeship, a lifetime appointment. And for those three gentlemen whose job is to make sure that they are executing the right person, they let not only me down, they let the people of Alabama down, they let the justice system down, and they have not, to this day, had to pay a price for not doing their job. But I spent 30 years on Alabama death row, 16 long years extra after the truth came out. They refused to look at the truth. The system is not there the way people think they are. I want everybody that under the sound of my voice to understand one thing. That lady that we call justice, that blindfold that she has on, she can see. She see what race you are. She see how much money you have. She see what college you went to. And when she add all of these things up, she have already found you guilty or not guilty before you entered her courtroom. And I was found guilty before I entered her courtroom.
What's life been like since 2015 in April when you were released?
Well, to be honest with you, I have my good days and my bad days. I still wake up every morning around 2:45 expecting breakfast, because on death row they feed you every morning at 3 a.m. And I'm one that once I get up, I can't go back to sleep. My mind tends to wander back on death row. I shower sometime every other day like I did on death row. Being able to go outside is sometime I have to pinch or catch myself and tell myself that I'm free. I don't have to wait and ask anyone, can I do this or can I go here or whatever. I've had some good days. I've had some days where I really felt alive and I felt whole again. But then at that same moment, it don't take nothing to retrickle my mind back that I spent 30 years on Isle of Death Row in a cage. And I don't think a year and a half will undo what 30 years have done to me.
I just find myself so angry listening to your story. And how would you, what would you tell me? I mean, I want to go and get your revenge. What's your advice?
Revenge is mine, said the Lord. One day, they true revenge will come to those that played a part in sending me to death. I do not hate these men that did this to me. I once did. But, you know, no one in the state of Alabama to this day have come up to me and say, Mr. Hinton, I'm sorry. No governor, no legislator. I haven't been given not one dime from the state of Alabama. And they took 30 years of my life. They haven't even had the decency to apologize. But I can't worry about how someone treat me. My mom told me, you are responsible for how you treat others. You are not responsible for how they treat you. And with that, I get up every morning and I try to smile. I try to bring joy to those that are sad. And not one time did I forgive those men because they asked me to. I forgave those men, not so they can sleep good at night, so I could sleep good at night.
Anthony Ray Hinton spent 30 years on death row before his release in April of 2015. He spoke to us from Birmingham, Alabama. Anthony, thank you so much and good luck.
Thank you so much for having me.